Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Deadly Sweet Tooth by K. George, narrated by Callie Bollier. Chapter 1. Tally Holt had been hoping he wouldn't show up today. While Tally was talking, pacing the floor as she heard the news she didn't want to hear, Yolanda burst into Tally's office from the kitchen of Tally's shop. "Who was that on the phone?" asked Yolanda Bella, Tally's best friend. Tally's friend owned Bella's Baskets, the gift basket business that was located next door to Tally's vintage sweet shop on Main Street in Fredericksburg, Texas. Yolanda flounced into the office guest chair, her bright orange and yellow skirt billowing as she sat. Flamboyant was the only word for the way Yolanda dressed, in bright colors that always seemed to swish around her when she moved. They looked good with her dark coloring, wild dark brown curls and flashing eyes that were so dark they were almost black. Tally was quite a contrast with her usual jeans and t-shirt, but, as they say, opposites attract. The two, now in their mid-30s, were best friends going back to their school days. "It was my brother, Cole," Tally said, stuffing her phone into her pocket. Yolanda frowned. There was no love lost between those two. "Is he coming early?" Tally nodded, slumping into her desk chair. "I'm afraid so. I guess it's good he wants to help, but we don't need him. He was supposed to come late Friday, and now thinks he'll get here earlier." She took a deep breath, inhaling the delicious scents of her shop. Chocolate and caramel dominating today, the lingering warm fragrance had a calming effect, and her shoulders lost some of their tension. "I thought he was tied up until Friday night. Isn't he doing a big installation in Albuquerque?" "He was. He finished early." Tally neatened the thick stack of job applications that included those she had been dealing with for the last 3 hours. "I think what he really wants to do is to see Dorella."
"Well, that's good. That'll keep him out of our hair."
"You mean keep him out of your hair, don't you?" Yolanda, Tally knew, would prefer for Cole to stay in Albuquerque forever. They didn't have a good history. Tally loved her brother. She just wasn't ready for him to come quite yet. There was so much to deal with.
"Hey," Yolanda said, "was the woman I saw leaving just now applying to help cater? Have y'all had a good turnout with applications?"
That was a problem.
"Yes and no. I mean, I've had lots of people apply for the job, but there aren't very many I'd consider hiring to help with the reception."
Tally shuffled the job applications, pulling out the one she'd flagged with sticky notes. They were for promising interviewees, the ones who hadn't interrupted the session for a cell phone call, hadn't texted the whole time, hadn't worn rumpled or, in one case, dirty clothing. The chosen few had sat up straight and paid attention to her and thoughtfully answered her questions. The number of those applicants was discouragingly small. The reception was coming up soon, in 3 days. Tally wanted it to be perfect, since it was such a special occasion. Hiring people was not her favorite part of being a small business owner, but it was necessary. The job she was interviewing people for today was a bit different. She had decided that the two or three she picked to do the reception would be considered later for a position at Tally's Old Time Sweets, her vintage candy shop, depending on how they worked out at the reception.
"How many did you talk to today?" Yolanda asked.
"Six. That's all I had time for. The one I saw didn't look half bad. I'll admit she was one of the better ones. I wish I had time to interview a whole lot more, but I have a shop to run."
"It'll be much better when you get some help in here. You're doing everything yourself."
Yolanda had an assistant, a young man named Raoul, but Tally was running her place all by herself lately, having had a run of bad luck with assistants. It was mid-August, and the high tourist season was in full swing. Tally needed more help to order supplies, make her candies and sweets, sell them, and do all the cleaning and neatening that needed to be constantly attended to.
I have to get out of my office, Tally said. I've been cooped up here for 3 hours.
She had closed an hour early, at 6, to do the interviews.
Are y'all hungry? Let's go out and get a late supper.
Yolanda jumped up.
How about that new place? Do you remember the name?
You mean Burger Kitchen?
Yeah, that's it. Raul has eaten there, and I think Kevin has too.
Perfect. Let's do it. Tally took one more look at the applications, stuck 3 of them into her purse, and followed Yolanda. After she locked the back door from the inside, they went out through the shop at the front, Tally pausing a moment to enjoy looking over the salesroom she had worked so hard on, had poured her heart and her money into. Muted pinks and lilacs swirled across the walls, accented with chocolate brown shelving, and lit with cute lights whose shades looked like mason jars. The glass display cases gleamed. They'd better, Tally thought, since she had polished them after closing, as she did every night. She and Yolanda walked across the rustic, wide plank flooring to the front door and left, accompanied by the soft chimes activated by opening the door.
Oh, gosh! Nigel! I forgot about him, Tally said when they were on the sidewalk outside. He'll be rummaging through the cupboards and opening cereal boxes if I don't get home and feed him. I'll meet you there.
Do you mind if Kevin joins us? Yolanda asked. Tally smiled. She didn't mind at all. Of course not. In fact, she was delighted that a relationship was developing between Yolanda and Kevin Miller. He was the proprietor of Bear Mountain Vineyards, the wine shop on the other side of Bella's Baskets. Seeing as both Tally and Yolanda were business owners, the two women were able to collaborate sometimes, using Tally's treats to help fill Yolanda's gift baskets. Despite spending so much time together, it was only a week or so ago that Tally realized something was happening between Kevin and Yolanda. Kevin was older than Yolanda, maybe by 10 years or so, but they hit it off well. It was 9:15, well after sunset. Even though the sun had set, the hot air rippled with excited shoppers and locals on their way to get something to eat or drink, or to see some of the entertainment offerings in the quaint Texas tourist town. The area around Fredericksburg was studded with many wineries, and the Germantown boasted quite a few tasting rooms.
See you in about 20 minutes.
Tally turned to go the other direction to her rental house, which was only 4 blocks away.
We'll save you a seat.
When Tally opened the front door to her small, neat ranch house, she wasn't met with the noisy greeting that had become usual over the last few weeks that Nigel had lived with her.
He's mad, she thought. That won't be good.
She threw her purse onto the couch, peering around the living room for him.
Here, Nigel, she crooned. Come get your dinner.
It wasn't until she poured the kibble into his bowl that he appeared, drawn by the clatter. The huge black-and-white Maine Coon cat gave a disgusted glance in her direction, then went straight to his task, extracting morsels and setting them gently on the mat so he could eat them. Tally had finally gotten a couple of mats for his dining pleasure, so she could toss them into the washing machine when they got full of kibble crumbs. Before the mats, she had to scrub the floor around his food and water bowls every other day. He was not about to do anything so common as to eat from his own food bowl. She smiled at the haughty cat. Her life had been simpler, but she had to admit duller before Nigel came to live with her. She enjoyed talking to him, telling him her problems and her joys. He seemed to listen intently when she talked to him, giving her wise looks, always agreeing with her own viewpoints. He was a satisfying companion. Tally waited for Nigel to get halfway through his dinner, then told him she'd be back soon. He gave her a skeptical look. No, really, I will. At least, she hoped she would. He turned his tail end to her and left the room. She knew he'd finish his meal after she left. Nigel wasn't one to leave kibble uneaten. Tomorrow was another big day, and after her late meal with Yolanda and Kevin, she needed to get home to ponder the job applications and, maybe, get a good night's sleep before another busy day at Tally's Old Time Suites tomorrow. Tally walked quickly to Burger Kitchen through the soft night air, the warmth caressing her tired body and feeling so much better than the hot daytime air of August in this part of Texas. Yolanda and Kevin were seated near the back and waved her over. Kevin gave her a smile through his au courant, dark, scruffy beard. He was of medium height, unimposing, and, as far as Tally could tell, a genuinely nice guy. He was, as usual, dressed all in black, black jeans and a black button-up shirt with the sleeves rolled up a few inches. "I got you an iced tea," Yolanda said, taking a sip of her own. Tally was thirsty from her two short, hot walks and gulped half the glass down. It tasted wonderful. The restaurant served their special blend, slightly sweet with a hint of peach flavoring. "Now, what do you have?" Yolanda asked when Tally set her sweating glass on the paper coaster. "I saw you stick some papers in your purse. Any good prospects?"
"A few,"
Tally said. She fished them out of her purse and handed them to Yolanda. "Look them over and see what you think."
"Have you heard from your parents today?"
Kevin asked. The waiter brought them a basket of steaming breads, and Kevin helped himself to a crusty roll. Tally's roving musician-slash-actor-slash-dancer parents, Nancy and Bob Holt, were on their way home after many months on the road. They were coming in from Marrakesh in Morocco, where they had performed for a few days after their shows on the beach in Bali ended. The reception Tally was planning, with the help of Yolanda and Kevin, would be to celebrate their rare homecoming. She wanted it to be a special occasion for them. They had been gone for months, had never seen her shop, and she hoped they would be impressed. She had sold a successful bakery in Austin to buy her place here, and she knew they didn't think it had been a good idea, even though this was their hometown and Tally had spent a good part of her childhood in this Texas hill country town. "They're on a flight today, then stopping for a day in Spain and coming here from there," Tally said. Kevin shook his head. "They sure gallivant around, don't they?"
"That's all they do. They never stay anywhere very long."
Tally took a piece of steaming cornbread, her favorite, and started to butter it, letting it melt in before she took the first luscious bite.
"Y'all should put Cole to work since he's coming early," Yolanda said. "He says he'll help me. We'll see if that happens. They're his parents, too. You can't blame him for wanting to pitch in."
"Wasn't this reception his idea?"
Kevin asked, taking another warm roll.
"I guess it was," Tally said, "but I agreed to set it up. I thought he wouldn't be able to do much while he was building a sculpture in Albuquerque."
"I'm glad he'll be here," Kevin said. "We need all the hands we can get."
Tally drummed her fingers on the table, hoping that Kevin might be able to get more labor out of Tally's little brother than she would be likely to. Even though she was his big sister, she hadn't been able to boss him around for quite a few years now. Every single person in her family was the independent type. She was half dreading the reception. Her parents would fly in, get a few hours sleep, and go straight to the party the next day, their choice. Tally knew they would be jet-lagged and the affair might be a dull flop. Then again, maybe she was wrong. They were so used to traveling, maybe they had conquered jet lag and would be ready to party. It was now Wednesday night. Cole would be here early Thursday, and her parents would arrive Friday. She had left the hiring of the help until almost too late, she knew. Actually, she hadn't even considered they would need help until Yolanda mentioned it. Yolanda was a great detail person, luckily. "This has me rattled," Tally said. "I think I've let it get a lot bigger than I should have."
"You don't look a bit rattled," Kevin said with a smile. "You never do."
Tally knew she often looked cool, calm, and collected when she was a jangle of nerves inside. Maybe that was from being on stage from a young age.
She was glad to be out of that life, but had to admit the days when her parents used to give her and Cole parts in their acts had resulted in some useful takeaways. Cole and Yolanda were the two people on the planet who could always tell when she was upset, and she was thankful for that. She would make the best of Cole being underfoot. No, not underfoot. Being here and helping. Yes, that was it. Helping. Her other worry was what this would do to her business. Missing a day of sales and on a Saturday would leave a big hole in her finances. She needed all of her income while her shop was still gathering steam and becoming known in the town. "Let's talk about the reception," Yolanda said. "What are y'all going to serve?" "My own products, of course," Tally answered. "I'll do some Mary Janes and whoopie pies." "What else?" Kevin said,
"I think you should have your Clark bars.
I like that fudge with Bailey's in it, too. I have a petite Syrah that would be good with the fudge. If you do Twinkies, I'll bring some Riesling." They discussed sweet treats and wine for a few more minutes until Tally changed the subject. "Okay," she said, pointing to the three sheets of paper spread on the table. "What do you think of the applicants?" Yolanda looked them over and held one up. "This one." "Let me see." Kevin wiped his fingers so the butter from his roll wouldn't get on it. "Greer Thompson," he read. "She didn't graduate from high school. Is that a problem?"
"I'm not sure," Tally said. "The other two I liked are a bit younger. One is 18 and the other one 20. Greer has lots of work experience, so that might be good."
"Maybe too much," Yolanda said, frowning at the paper in her hand. "She seems to change jobs a lot."
"You're right," Kevin agreed, reaching for the paperwork from the other two and looking it over. "But she's the only one with retail experience."
"The good thing is," Tally said, "that I can try her out at the reception and then decide if I want to hire her to work in the store." The server came and took their orders, hamburger, cheeseburger, and veggie burger. "Back to the hired help," Kevin said, staying on point. "Are you just using one person at the reception?" Tally gave it some thought.
"What do both of you think? Do we need more?"
"What can you afford?" Yolanda asked. She was much better at managing money than Tally was. In fact, she helped Tally with the books in her shop when she couldn't make things balance.
"Well, you probably know better than I do," Tally laughed, and Kevin chuckled.
"I think you're doing pretty darn well lately. You could hire all three just for that day, then decide which two you want to keep." Tally liked that idea. Like buying three pair of shoes, then returning the one or two pair that hurt her feet after an hour on the carpet at home. She decided to call all three and offer them jobs for Saturday. She would do it first thing in the morning. As the three friends were winding up their dinner and waiting for the bill, a couple they all knew came through the door and were seated at a table near them. The pair looked like Jack Spratt and his wife, reversed. The woman was thin, with what looked like a perpetual frown on her creased face, which was topped by gray, short curls that always made Tally think of a mop. The man, in contrast, was bald, pot-bellied, and wore a jovial expression on his round face. Friendly eyes twinkled under his bushy eyebrows. The woman sat facing them, glanced in their direction, gathered her frown lines to new depths, loudly cleared her throat, then concentrated on her menu. Kevin saw Tally's own frown and gave her a questioning look.
"Later," she said.
"Yes, later," Yolanda added. Yolanda was surprised but glad when Kevin took her elbow and guided her out of the restaurant, just like they were an old married couple. She was beginning to look at him with a different view. He was older than she was, but seemed interested. She could do a lot worse. When they were outside the restaurant, Kevin asked again, "Do you not like the Abrahams?" Yolanda started to answer, but Tally beat her to it. "Lenny is okay," she said, "but I can't stand his wife, Frances. She's had it in for my mother since I can remember."
"Tally's right," Yolanda said. She finds something mean to say about Tally's mom every time they're in town.
What's her problem? Kevin asked.
I've heard only good things about your mom from several of my customers. They're excited she's going to be in town.
I thought everyone liked her. Both of them, really.
They were walking toward Tally's house first, since she lived the closest. Yolanda wondered if Kevin was going to come to her place and stay for a while, or overnight. The tree frogs were in full voice, their songs ringing above them through the night from the live oaks and crepe myrtles that lined the streets. The air was deliciously cooler than the mid-90s high of the day. The thermometer was heading for the high 60s, and Yolanda wished she had a sweater on.
That's one of the problems, Yolanda said.
Everyone likes Nancy, but hardly anyone likes Fran. Nancy is an old girlfriend of Fran's husband. Lenny still acts very friendly when he sees Nancy, which doesn't help anything.
Kevin pulled his head back and frowned.
Nancy is Mrs. Holt's first name? And she was a girlfriend of Mr. Abraham?
Yolanda and Tally both nodded.
Kevin continued, Well, that must have been a long time ago. You're, what, in your 30s? So it had to be more than 30 years ago.
Yes, Tally said. Fran has been a thorn in my mom's side for their whole lives.
One problem Fran has is competition, Yolanda said. They're both performers, after all.
Yolanda had known Francis Abraham her whole life. Mrs. Abraham presently directed the local theater group and ruled it with an iron fist. To anyone she considered competition, she was extra nasty. She had sent more than one aspiring starlet home in tears, wanting all the starring roles for herself. That became more and more problematic as she aged, and her face became more and more set into permanent harsh lines that you could now see even beyond the stage. She had verbally attacked Yolanda's own sister Violetta so harshly and so often that Vi had dropped out of the one production she had tried out for. She'd been slated to have a starring role, too, but couldn't work under Fran. Yolanda remembered her little sister coming home in tears after every rehearsal until she quit.
I've wondered before why Lenny puts up with her, Kevin said.
They come into Bear Mountain sometimes, and whatever wine he picks out, she nixes. She's the boss.
From working with them, I can tell you this, Yolanda answered. He mostly ignores her, just hammers the sets together and paints them and doesn't pay any attention to what goes on in front of his scenery.
I'd forgotten, Tally said to Yolanda. You were in some of her plays, weren't you? A while ago, when I was much younger.
I didn't like working with her, but I stuck it out for a short time.
3 productions one summer. I think most people who are in her productions put up with her because they love the stage.
No one forgets the past in a small town like this, Kevin said.
And she's not a bad director, just a limelight hog, Yolanda said.
Too skinny for a hog, Kevin answered, and they all laughed.
They rounded the corner to Tally's block of East Schubert, and she stopped.
It's a day early. He's here already.
Her brother's Volvo sat in her driveway.
Chapter 2.
He was coming tomorrow, right? Yolanda said.
Right. He was.
Nothing is ready. I'll see you two later.
Tally took off, walking quickly, and Yolanda and Kevin headed toward Yolanda's on West Schubert. Tally composed herself walking the block to her front yard. There wasn't that much to do. She had to get out some linens for her brother to use on her couch and a set of towels. If he had eaten, there wouldn't be dinner to make. She was exhausted and had been for days getting ready for the gathering. The quiet street, shaded by overhanging trees, soothed her. She strolled beneath them, hugging the curb since there were no sidewalks in her neighborhood. A radio played softly on the front porch she passed. She waved to the old man, and he waved back, a ghostly motion in the darkness.
Maybe, she thought,
It would be a good thing that her brother was here now. If she could put him to work, that is, they could use the extra help. The trouble was, Cole pretty much did his own thing most of the time. Whenever Tally tried to influence his boorish behavior toward women, for example, nothing she did or said had any effect, especially with his worst habit. He would date one woman, tire of her, then start dating woman number two without officially breaking it off with woman number one. Most recently, he'd been seeing a young local woman named Dorella Diggs when he had stayed briefly before taking off for Albuquerque to work on his commissioned statue. That was also when he had left Nigel with Tally, another abandonment. Tally had never had a cat before and was miffed when Cole assumed he could just dump the animal on her. It didn't take long before Tally got over that, since darling Nigel had won her over quickly. She was curious to see if Cole would still be seeing Dorella this weekend. He would probably have to rush back to New Mexico after the reception. He didn't stay put for long. As she walked up the porch steps, she heard Nigel let out a loud meow. She pushed the door open. "What are you doing to the cat, Cole?" she teased. "Hey, he heard you coming. He's greeting you. Have you left him all day with nothing to eat?" "I'm fine, thanks. How are you doing?" "And I fed him about 2 hours ago." Cole ignored her sarcasm. "It's a boring drive once you get away from Albuquerque. You should come up with me when I go back." "Why would I like to go on a boring drive with you?" They both stuck their tongues out at each other. Nigel rubbed against her leg, purring with a few trills added in, no doubt grateful she had fed him. Tally kicked off her shoes and padded into the kitchen to check Nigel's bowls. His water was almost empty. "Oh, sorry, big guy. You're running out of water." Was Nigel raising his eyebrows at her? She thought he would probably roll his eyes if he could. "I know. Sorry doesn't cut it." She filled his bowl at the faucet and set it on the floor. Nigel sniffed it, took a tentative lap, then curled up on the floor. Maybe he was saving the water for later. "How could I go with you to New Mexico, Cole?" she said, returning to the living room. "What would happen to my shop if I just flitted off whenever I felt like it?" "Don't bite my head off, sis," he gave her the wounded little brother look. She had to admit she'd sounded testy. She sat on the other end of the couch from Cole and curled up in the corner. "Sorry, but I really can't leave whenever I want. Right now I'm open in the shop 7 days a week, except for this Saturday, to take advantage of the peak tourist season. I'll lay low after the beginning of the year when things slow down. Maybe we can do something together then." "Tourists come here in August? I mean, I know they do. I can see the crowds, but I've always wondered why. It's so hot here. You'd think people would go somewhere cooler." They had both grown up in Fredericksburg, but neither had ever viewed the town with an entrepreneurial eye as children. "Well, Christmas shopping, of course," Tally said. "We merchants try to make them believe they need to shop for months and months. Merchants everywhere do that, and most people who come here to Fredericksburg believe it, I think." "I know you're right. The Christmas shop does good business year-round, doesn't it? I remember that from when I was here." The television was on, muted. He had probably muted it when she came in. Out of the corner of her eye, Tally caught an ad for a man running for mayor. He was unfamiliar. "Who's that?" she asked. "Do you know?" "How would I know? I just got here." It was his turn to snap at her, but now Tally figured they were even. "I've never seen his ads before. I wonder if he's new around town." Nigel strolled in from the kitchen and hopped up beside Tally, setting up a rumbling, purring racket. "How's the party going?" Cole asked. "You got everything under control?" "I wish. I've interviewed people until I'm cross-eyed and have come up with exactly three who I think might work." Tally was worn out. She wanted to stay on her soft, second-hand navy blue couch until morning. It was so comfy.
Nigel looked as if he agreed with her and would like to do that, too.
Interviewed for what? For the sweet shop?
To help serve the reception, first of all. Then, if any of them work out, I'll hire...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?